Cersei strode on through the halls and out, her wand held high in hand, and flinging open the pens, drove forth by men who looked like full-grown swine. Facing her there they stood as she went along the ranks, anointing them one by one with some new magic oil, and look, the bristles grown by the first wicked drug that Cersei gave them slipped away from their limbs, and they turned men again, younger than ever, taller by far, more handsome to the eye, and yes, they knew me at once, and each man grasped my hands, and a painful longing for tears overcame us all. A terrible sobbing echoed through the house. The goddess herself was moved, and standing by me warmly urged me on, a lustrous goddess now. Royal son of Laertes, Odysseus, tried and true, go at once to your ship at the water's edge, haul her straight up on the shore first, and stow your cargo and running gear in caves, then back you come, and bring your trusty crew. Her urging won my stubborn spirit over. Down I went to the swift ship at the water's edge, and there on the decks I found my loyal crew, consumed with grief and weeping live warm tears. But now, as calves in stalls when cows come home, droves of them herded back from field to farmyard once they've grazed their fill, as all their young calves come frisking out to meet them, bucking out of their pens, lowing non-stop, jostling, rushing round their mothers, so my shipmates there at the sight of my return came pressing round me now, streaming tears, so deeply moved in their hearts they felt as if they'd made it back to their own land, their city, Ithaca's rocky soil where they were bred and reared. And through their tears their words went winging home. "You're back again, my king. How thrilled we are, as if we'd reached our country Ithaca at last. But come, tell us about the fate our comrades met." Still I replied with a timely word of comfort. "Let's haul our ship straight up on the shore first, and stow our cargo and running gear in caves. Then hurry, all of you, come along with me, to see our friends in the magic halls of Circe, eating and drinking. The feast flows on forever." So I said, and they jumped to do my bidding. Only Eurylochus tried to hold my shipmates back, his mutinous outburst aimed at one and all. "Poor fools, where are we running now? Why are we tempting fate? Why stumble blindly down to Circe's halls? She'll turn us all into pigs, or wolves, or lions made to guard that palace of hers by force, I tell you. Just as the Cyclops trapped our comrades in his lair with hot-headed Odysseus right beside them all, thanks to this man's rashness, they died too." So he declared, and I had half a mind to draw the sharp sword from beside my hip and slice his head off, tumbling down in the dust. Close kin that he was. But comrades checked me, each man trying to calm me, left and right. "Captain, we'll leave him here, if you command, just where he is, to sit and guard the ship. Lead us on to the magic halls of Circe." With that, up from the ship and shore, they headed inland. Nor did Eurylochus malinger by the hull. He straggled behind the rest, dreading the sharp blast of my rebuke. All the while Circe had bathed my other comrades in her palace, caring and kindly, rubbed them sleek with oil and decked them out in fleecy cloaks and shirts. We found them all together, feasting in her halls. Once we had recognized each other, gazing face to face, we all broke down and wept, and the house resounded now. And Circe, the lustrous one, came toward me, pleading, "Royal son of Laertes, Odysseus, man of action, no more tears now, calm these tides of sorrow. Well I know what pains you bore on the swarming sea, what punishment you endured from hostile men on land, but come now, eat your food and drink your wine, till the same courage fills your chests, now as then when you first set sail from native land, from rocky Ithaca. Now you are burnt-out husks, your spirits haggard, sere, always brooding over your wanderings long and hard, your hearts never lifting with any joy.